So we're going in this pasuk, parak yud chet, pasuk yud beis. The pasuk says, "Vatitzach Sara bekirba lemor." Sara meaning laughed in her inside, saying, "Achari belozgas liedna." After I've been so withered, after I've gone nowhere, liedna. Now I'm going to be, you know, nice and young again. My master is old. So it sounds like, just from the outset of the pasuk, it sounds like something strange is going on here. She's saying, what, do you really think I'm going to be young again? And my master is old. So was that like in addition to me being old, my master Avraham was old as well? Or is this saying, no, something different, that I know I could do it, but do you really think Avraham could do it? So what in the world does that mean? I mean, if anything, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu then wanted to tell Avraham and wanted to hide the fact that she said something bad about Avraham, then why would she have said, why would you say, Tzachaka sor lemor afum nami le vani zakanti? Will I really give birth vani zakanti? You just say, that's not even a lie. There was no peaceable overtures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to say over here. This is the absolute truth. Sorry, Minu did say, I'm too old.
He just omitted the part that he's too old.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it was. So what was the problem? Now, we have to know a lot of information going into this before we really understand the parsha. So Avraham Avinu had already been told a few times in last week's parsha that he would have a child. This happened two or three times in last week's parsha that he was told, you're going to have a kid. Even when he was 99, even when he had already had Yishmael, he was promised he was going to have a child. But it's possible that Sarai Menu had never heard this. Now, why was it possible? Because Avraham was not commanded to tell his wife. And if a Navi is not told to say something to someone else, he doesn't say it. If you're not told, you go ahead and tell them this, and then don't say it out loud. No, you just don't. There's no reason to. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted other people to hear it, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted someone else to hear it, you would have told them. You would have said, go say it. It's usually said in the form of lemor, to say it over to other people. If there was a reason for that, it would have happened. Right? That's the idea behind it. So it may be that Sara made him assume that he would just be Avraham Avinu's partner, and nothing more than that. It may be that she had already given up hope of ever having a child, because she never received a nevuah that she was going to have a child. That was never given in her repertoire. She never had that nevuah. So it's possible she had fully looked, given up completely. So Rashi tells us that she was 89 years old. Yeah, 89 years old. She's given up. She's definitely old. The funny thing is the following.
She's experiencing, you know, the menopause, and
if she's already past that, yeah, for those who don't know, that means she can't have a baby. Anyway, so that's that. But look what Rashi says. We're a bit careful. Mistakelus b'me'echa, says Rashi. She looked at her stomach. Volmeres, after I crop on the wall, tune in blood. What, do you think that I could have a child with these insides? Hashadayim alosh at some kumoshkin chalav? That these withered chests, this withered chest, is that going to be able to have milk? Is that possible? Adena sikhtu akbasu, what, I'm all of a sudden going to have normal flesh and whatever it is? Lushan idons, man vested nidos, am I going to have nida at a proper time and anything like that? That's what she kept saying. Now, here's the problem. Rashi had already said that she couldn't bring bread to the table. That Avraham Avinu promised they were going to have bread and never brought the bread. And the reason why they didn't bring the bread is because, sorry, they went into nida. So she did go with Tanita that day. That day. So what was she saying? Is it possible that I'm going to go into Nida? What do you mean? You just went into Nida. Now, it happens to be that even older women, right, who are beyond that age, can bleed. It's possible for a woman to still bleed at some point, and it's usually not. It's usually nothing whatsoever. It's not considered anything big, and it does have the halakhic status of nida blood, which would allow the stuff to be tameh, but that doesn't necessarily mean her whole system is going to be changed. So the way the Rush, the Daz the Kanan, the Balitosis, the Panach Raza, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, all the those around the 13th century authors, all they say was that she thought that this was a fluke, which sometimes happens to older woman, it was not indicative or going to tell you anything about any change in her system itself. The Moshav Zakenim says the exact opposite. She was sure about herself. That was not her problem, unlike Rashi. She wasn't sure about her husband, who looked so old. Now, if you look at the pasuk, it really is saying that. You just have to read it a little bit differently. Look at what it says. After I was so withered, I just got my time. So she was laughing not at the prophecy, She was laughing with the prophecy. Yeah, it's possible. God and Esau came. But Avram is so old. Is that really going to happen to my husband? Meaning the whole thing was not about her. She knew she was fine. Unlike Rashi, says Moshe Zakenin. But my husband, no way that can happen to him.
It's a lot less than to Rashi, because it's a much bigger finish to say that a 9-year-old woman is going to give birth than to say that a guy
who's a 9-year-old man who just had a kid.
Remember, but still, he's still a male. He can, you know.
You'd think that it would be a difference between them. So agreed. In this situation, you're right. But she saw a miracle that happened to her right at that moment. Like, think of this. She's sitting there. She's baking the bread. All of a sudden, she goes into Nida. She says, oh my gosh, how in the world did that happen?
And then, calculated or not some time back.
You'd have to assume, right? But maybe she does that, and then she looks at it, and she says, and then she says, wait a second. And now, just now, these Malachim are telling me, or these people are telling me that I'm going to have a kid. She saw it as not a coincidence. These people didn't look at coincidences this way. These are tzaddikim beyond anything. They looked at it as, what an unbelievable bit of ashkacha prophets must be that I am able. But is my husband really able? Is my husband really going to be able to be there?
It's like Chavah Chomer. If now she's experienced a miracle and God's telling her,
you'd assume that
obviously he's capable.
Yeah, you'd assume that something is there. It is a little strange in that part. And that already takes a little bit of work. How is it there? No, it's a great call. It is a great call. Earlier, earlier, Yud Zion. Okay, Avram also left when he was told he was going to have a baby. It's the exact same thing. Tarek Yud Zion, Pasuk Yud Zion. It says right over here, "Vayipo Avram al panav vayitzchok," and he laughed. Right, by Yomer Belibo, and he said to himself, "I will then mayah shana yiviv aleid. At 100 years old, am I going to be able to give birth? Vim Sarah batishum shana seleid. Is Sarah at the age of 90 going to be able to give birth?" He also left, but there's no problem there. Everybody looks at Avram and he's like, "Oh, such a tzaddik." But Sarah made it was different. So what's the difference between them? So if you look, there's a very clear difference. Says Unkelus over there, the way he translates vayitzchok is vachodis. The chodis means, and he was happy. He was happy. He smiled. He was so excited about what was going to be. Over here, where it says that she laughed, when it goes through and says that she's the one that's going to laugh, it says the following, the chaychas, sorrow. Chaychas and chodi are different types of laughter. Chodi is a half laughter out of something good, out of simcha, something great that's going to happen. Chaychas is laughing at the situation. It's a different type of laughter, and that's the difference, how Rashi understood there's a difference between Avraminu and Sarimenu. Targum Yehonah's son actually puts it down, Batamos, that she wondered, is it possible for this to happen? Now, where could that come from? And that's really what we're going to concentrate on. What was Sarah Maynard's problem? Did she really think she wasn't going to have a kid at 90 if she's Avram Avinu's wife? Even if you say that she didn't believe that these people were really Malachim, which is what the Ramban is about to say, this is Sarah Maynard. You don't think anything is beyond God's abilities? Maybe that they were waiting for the proper time, they were waiting for your tefillos, and that was that. What's really going on in Sarah Imenu's head to be able to answer this question? Yeah?
Maybe she knew Hashem could do anything, so she named a kid, but she didn't know what to do next. Once the kid's born, how's she going to take care of the kid tonight?
The line is still off then. Even if it's, I believe it, but how am I going to do it? The line is, Acharei Belosi Haisali Edna. What does that mean? It should be, how am I going to take care of the kid? Right? That seems to be strange. So he goes to this. The Ramban, although we are going to say an answer that's somewhat similar to that, very similar to that. The Ramban tells us that she had no idea these people were men. It's possible she never even saw them. It's possible. I don't know what the Hasidic life was like back then. I have no clue. But it seems that she was in the tent outside. She was not staying with them or eating together with them, which means she may have never even seen them, and she certainly did not assume that they were staying over in Abu.
It's weird because she'd make us whole us. Instead of chita, like,
she never got punished for that.
I thought there was some issue that she was...
No, she made solas. She made solas.
Avram
said kemach.
Like
it's the opposite. She did better. It deals with the Gemara Bava Metzia. But nonetheless, yes. But nonetheless, she did do something that was better. But he answers, her sin, this is the Ramban's answer. Her sin was not disbelief. It was that her negative reaction is if Hashem can't do such a thing. It's not that she didn't believe in it. It's just like, Hashem won't do such a thing. Was more the line that she had. She should have said, Amen Keni Yiratzon. That should have been the reaction. Amen Keni Yiratzon. Even if it's impossible, even if you don't think it's ever going to happen, say Amen Keni Yiratzon. At least believe that Hashem wants it to happen. At least say that it could be there, but not to deny it completely.
What?
Which is
why?
What it sounds
why?
Like.
Why?
Ah, Now you get into the big one, and here's the pshat. The lesson to be learned from this Ramban is an unbelievable lesson. Nothing is impossible for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to do. Nothing is impossible. To say that something is unlikely, that's mutter. To say that something is impossible is usur. And the line that Sari Menu was saying bordered on the line of where she was saying this is impossible, it's never going to happen. Such a line is usur, and you have to have more amunah than that and say it can happen.
It's an issue of amunah. It's an issue of some crazy guy in the street says something to you that's like, no way that's ever going to happen. You have an obligation to say like, oh man, like, come on.
You can't say
hold on, yes, in a way.
Hold on.
I am not saying that you should go up to every crazy person at Tel Aviv Pizza and sit down with them and be like, you really are Mashiach? No, that I'm not saying. That I'm not saying you should do. What I'm saying is that if the person says to you, you are going to live a long life, you're going to live to 180, your answer to such a crazy line from a person who said something to you, the guy looks like he's a crazy man up the street, is a main king of Russo. Not, oh, come on, dude.
To live a long life is not impossible.
180.
No, 180 years. But 180. I gave that exact example.
Okay, well, if you get to do a long life, you should live to 180.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And then, like, maybe it'll be as long as possible.
In some way, shape, or form, she had a denial
of Hashem being able to do it. She's saying that Hashem, it's possible Hashem to do it, but it's probably not going to happen.
Her line, her reaction was not the right reaction for that type of a line. And that's what the Ramban is saying. You got to say the line of a main Kenyi Ratzon, and if you really don't think it's going to happen, fine. Out loud, you should be saying, oh, I wish this could be so. This is not relying on miracles. You are not relying on a miracle. You are saying, somebody gave you a bracha, you say, amen. That's great. That's exactly what I would love. That's exactly what you want.
If somebody gave you a bracha that you should give birth.
Yeah.
If I should give birth?
You should give birth.
Yeah.
For what reason?
Hold on.
We're taking this down. These are strange things. I have never davened my whole life. Well, if I was davening my whole life, then I should give birth. I'm standing there and I'm saying, I instead davening my whole life. Every Shacharis Mechamarav, I'm sitting there and during Shema Kolenu, I get right in the middle and I said, Hashem, let me give birth. Right? If I do that every single day, and then at the age of, I don't know, 27, somebody comes up to me and says, you should have a brother, you should give birth. You knew what I'm davening for. Then yes, you should say, amen, King Yerush. Sari Menu has davened for this every day of her life. She has never spent a tefillah not davening to have a child. Sari Menu spent her whole life doing such a thing. And now somebody goes ahead and says that to you. Your reaction is, awesome, that's what I've been praying for my whole life. That is totally different from the example you just gave.
You're thinking about it.
You're totally off the way of thinking about it.
People are living till 200 years old. Why? It's so crazy to get
there. Dude, you're so guys, listen. We're not dealing with Sari Menu
Tefillah.
Dude, we're not dealing with Sari Menu Tefillah. We're dealing with someone giving you a bracha. You are supposed to answer amen to a bracha, even if it's in a situation which you think might be impossible. You answer amen.
If the Yemen gives you a bracha that you should have a baby, are you going to say amen to it?
No, because that's not what I'm davening for. That's not what I want. I don't want to have a baby, ever. That's on tape. There's no way. That's stupid. This is something she's always wanted. It's something she's always wanted. It's something
she's meant to be.
Dude, it doesn't matter. She wants it. She just got a bracha for it. You of course say amen. I don't understand.
I think what I'm hearing them say is that what they share in common, all these things, is that it's a suspension of the laws of nature. And that whether a 9-year-old is going to have a baby, she says amen, doesn't say amen. There's a certain suspension of belief, a suspension of the laws of nature.
Agreed.
That's what it has in common with when you're
agreed.
You're no.
But there is a major difference between something you've always wanted and have been praying for versus something that you don't want and have not been praying for.
What happens if you accept, if already come to an acceptance that, you know, Hashem said no, that's what's not.
She hasn't, and we see clearly she hasn't. We see clearly from the rest of the parsha that she hasn't.
She hasn't given up.
So, the whole thing, Rotsochakti. I didn't laugh.
Kiarea, she was scared. That's why
you didn't laugh. That's why she said you didn't laugh.
Kiarea? You're really getting me on that one? That's not what Kiarea means. Rotsukaki is the line where she said, no way, that's not what I'm laughing about.
How old was she when
How old was she when Heather came?
Whatever it was, she was probably was 76.
So
she was 66.
Doesn't make it
she was 66. Yeah, that's true. From the beginning, at 66, what was it?
At 66, you bring in some of the...
There's no way. You have to understand the difference between something that you've always wanted versus something that's there. And first of all, the burden of proof is on you guys to show me that she had given up hope. Meaning what this line is, which she's being punished for.
It says, I would assume that just a rational person would just give up hope at that point.
But Sarimenu is not a normal person.
Okay, fine.
Nor will she ever do such a thing.
I don't know.
But that's why she's being punished. And even if you say, even if that's it, then that's the one bonds call. You cannot give up hope when your tzaddik is on the level of Sarimenu.
I understand you're saying that there was a bracha she should have said at main, but to say that she's been praying for it for the last 40 years when she physically could, or however
last long 90
it,
years.
Whatever. No.
The punishment is that she was able at some point and then she stopped. So then.
You're still there.
Since you're a woman nowadays and she's never had any kids and she wanted kids really badly, do you think she would ever laugh if somebody says, I want to give you a blessing that you should have children? No, because it could come in any other way. You know, if this is something that she deep,
I don't think she'll chuckle. No, not if this is what she's wanted her whole life.
You guys are so stupid.
Not at all.
Like, have you never wanted something?
Never.
It doesn't matter if a blessing is given to you, you say amen. Like, that's just your natural reaction to it.
If you're excited, if you're on a level of excitement, you may say to yourself, you know what?
If you were on the level,
no,
and you were on the level,
disagree.
100%, you would
disagree. Totally disagree. That's not what a level of tzaddik would be. Not here. No.
Or you need to give your opinion or your rutzon on Hashem after you've gotten more. Maybe you come to like a conclusion.
I'm never going to stop. I don't understand you. No, not until I die. I am never going to stop until I die. Period.
Why do you think you know better?
It's not that I know better. I haven't had it yet. Maybe I need to daven more.
I don't know. I don't like that.
You don't have to know. I know. That's all you need to know. The Ora Chaim HaKadosh. Ora Chaim HaKadosh says that Sarah did not laugh. And here is the problem with the laughter. She did not laugh when she first heard the news like Avraham Avinu did. Avraham Avinu hears that he's going to have a child. Immediately, he laughs.
That's right.
He says, that's awesome. Sarimenu waited. She laughed only after she received her first Nida cycle. In the first Nida cycle that she had in years. Meaning, at first, she ignored the comment. She thought nothing of it. But when she went into Nida, she said, wow, maybe it will happen. Now that goes against Rashi that says that she went into Nida when she was making the dough. Okay, she must have gone into Nida later, according to this shot of the Ora Chaim HaKadosh, but regardless, she said, oh wow, maybe it'll happen. Meaning, she believed it would happen only when she saw something that allowed it to happen. This is similar to the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was giving a shir and was talking about these windows of crystal that were going to exist in the Beis HaMikdash and how large they were going to be. Talmud goes up to Rabbi Yochanan and says, it's impossible, there's no way it could be. And he goes out to sea and his boats and whatever it is, and he sees the Malachim taking out of the sea these crystals that are absolutely massive. He goes back and he says to Rabbi Yochanan, L'chol lidrosh v'l'chol no'al lidrosh. You should darshan, it's beautiful for you to darshan, because I went out to sea and I saw these things with my very own eyes, so now I know it's true. Rabbi Yochanan looked at him and said, until now you didn't believe that it was going to happen? So he looked at him again and he turned to a pile of dust. To a pile of dust. Now, Sarimenu, this was the lesson, the idea of what's supposed to be over here. She denied laughing to Avraham Avinu. She said, she never meant he's too old, therefore she couldn't have a child. She meant, this is amazing that my husband is so old and yet will still be able to have a child. Said Avraham Avinu, it's not a problem with necessarily what you said. It's a problem that you only laughed and were only happy about it, and you only were masking to it when you saw that you went into Nida. That is the problem. You should have known that this could have happened even before. And that a Kodesh Baruch can give you a pierce the Nida at any point. That's what you should have realized, and that was the idea of the Ora Chaim HaKadosh by not going. The Kli Yakar says that the denial was not about herself. She clearly saw that she could have a child now because she had drunk from the fountains of youth. She was now a new person. Her Nida cycle was there. She felt her body changing. What she couldn't understand was she looked at her husband and she said, but he's old. But he's as old as he always was. He hasn't changed. I've changed, but he hasn't. So what he said was the following. I look and feel younger. I'll be able to, as you were saying before, raise this child, marry him off, take care of him for a little while. But my husband, you're promising him this kid when he seems like he's about to die. It looks like he's going to die. This thought was strengthened by what the Malachim said. The Malachim said, Ulisara Bain. Sarah will have a child. Sounds like Avraham will not have a child. So she laughed and she said, is it possible for Avraham, the biggest tzaddik in the world, to not be around to see the birth of his own child? Do you think Avraham won't be there? That's what she was laughing about. She said, is it possible that Avraham didn't have the same amount of schusim that I do? Says the Kliyakar, she's unfortunate. She was wrong in assuming that her schus was greater than Avram, or even saying that her schus could be greater than Avram. That's not what it was. His schus was as great, if not greater, as we see. She only lived another 37 years after this. Avram lived another 75 years after this. That there was a greater schus than away from over here.
A little bit of a stretch, because what Sarah Bain means that Avram already has one, she'll have one too. It's not to say that.
Yeah, for sure. But it means that Sarah Bain means you're delegating, you're saying it's only for Sarah Bain. That's the line that they understood from it, or she understood from it, and she said, it sounds like Avram's not involved. Sounds like, instead of Ula Shnechem Bain, Ula Avram Ula Sarah Bain, you know, like that type of line, it sounds like just that. Now the Kisunis is an amazing shot. You should know. Everybody has a big machlokas when exactly the Malachim came and how they were there. Were they on Pesach or were they on Sukkot? Which one was it? They bring rayas both ways. When they go to Lot, they have matzah. So it sounds like it was on Pesach. Right? They have a mishta and matzah. They even had the two cups and matzah. Right? That's what it sounds like. Right? Over here, it seems like they put them under the eight, under the tree. It sounds like it's a sukkah. The Zohar HaKadosh says that it's referring to a sukkah. Right? And it was a sukkah. It was a detached tree, which is used as schach. They all go through this. The Chizkuni says, based on the Medrash, the Medrash Rabbah that says this, the Malachim came to them on Pesach and said, L'moid HaShuvei Lecha means next year you'll have a child. And Yitzchak, you know, everyone agrees Yitzchak was born on Pesach. That is L'kulei Alma. Everyone agrees it was Pesach. Okay? But the Malachim came on Pesach. They went to Lot on Pesach. Sodom was destroyed on Pesach. And they promised Sarah that next year on Pesach she'd have a kid. Comes Rosh Hashanah. Tishrei rolls around. Okay? And she saw she wasn't pregnant. She's only got 6 months left. So on Rosh Hashanah, she said, it's not true, I'm not going to have a child. That's when she left. These psukim are out of order. The whole thing is, Avraham has the whole thing, and then Lot, and everything in Sodom, and it's all destroyed. And 6 months after Sodom is destroyed, 6 months after Lot is together with his two daughters, 6 months after all that happens, comes along Sarah, looks at herself in Rosh Hashanah, and says, it's a chik sarabi kirbali mor. She said, do you really think I'm going to have a child by Pesach? How is it possible for me to have a child on Pesach? It's 6 months away. It's not going to happen. To which Avraham went up to her and said, you can't say that it's still possible. And it was possible. It was an Ubar Yor. They were Ma'abar the year. They made an Adar Beis. So it wasn't 6 months until Pesach. It was 7 months until Pesach. And she became Nifkada Sarah. Sarah Imenu was already Nifkada. She was remembered on straight out Gemara. And we say it every year on Rosh Hashanah. She was remembered on Rosh Hashanah to have a child. Now everybody says, the way to learn it is, she was remembered to have a child, but she actually became pregnant a little bit later. According to this pshat from the Chizkuni, she became pregnant that day. Meaning that day of Rosh Hashanah, which would have been the night after Rosh Hashanah, that's when she became pregnant and she gave birth to a child 7 months later. Totally different way of looking at it. I'm sorry?
Maybe the preemie?
Well, no, because 7 month babies, apparently, in the time of Chazal, you could live if you were 7 month or a 9 month, but not an 8 month. I don't know what that means, and I don't know how it goes, but it's straight out Rabbi Elazar ben Amilo, 13th Tark of Shabbos. But it's so interesting, but that's what ended up happening over here. Now, Tzitzit Shimshin says it in a different way altogether. Tzitzit Shimshin says that the way, when she was saying this, it goes like this. Hoshea Yud Bezid Al says, Ubiyad Anavim Adameh. Says that Kershbar, who I am going to appear as one of the prophets. As one of the prophets do, Biyad and Avim Adamed, that's how I'm going to appear. Meaning, God appears to the prophets according to the age and type of person that they are. To older people, he appears as an older man. To younger people, he appears as a younger man. In Milchama, he appears as a man of war. In other times, he'll appear, etc. He'll appear according to the person that's looking at him. That's how the appearance of God appears in that person's eyes.
Isn't that kind of a dangerous territory?
Extremely. Yeah. Any way that you get involved in this. Nonetheless, for a Navi, I guess that's how they picture it. Sarah Imenu had always seen a Kadosh Baruch Hu as an old lady. Obviously, when she was younger, as a young lady. When she was older, as an older lady. And all of a sudden, she appeared as she should. All of a sudden, Sarah Imenu went into Nida. So she expected a Kadosh Baruch Hu to appear to her as a younger woman. But she didn't. She still appeared to her as an older woman. to which he said, Adoni Zaken. It's not my master Avraham Avinu is old. It's my master HaKadosh Baruch Hu is old. The way that I'm seeing the Shekhinah, the way it's appearing to me, is that the Shekhinah looks old to me. If she looks old, that means, if the Shekhinah looks old to me, that means that I'm not going to be able to have a baby because I'm old. Even though I feel young, even though it looks like I was piercing Nida, but it must be that I'm old because that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was appearing to me. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu came out, look at the wording, it's so beautiful. Ha'af umnam melei, said sorry Minu, that I'm going to give birth, said Hashem to Avraham Avinu. V'ani zokanti. And I am old. Who's saying this? HaKadosh Baruch was saying about himself, V'ani zakanti, and that I appear old. It's not a problem, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will appear young when she gives birth. I will appear young at that point. The halacha is, by Yochus Nida, we mentioned it before, you are not considered in the halachas of Nida until one of two things happen. Either she gets a chazaka and sees Nida three times after the age of menopause, etc. Or if she gives birth. Either one of those things happen, then she's considered a young woman again, and the Nida is a real Hilchos Nida, and it takes on all the halakhos of Nida itself. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one time seeing Nida is not enough. Not enough, he said, for me to appear young to you. It has to be that you're going to have to give birth to a child, and after that, then I'll appear to you as a young
why person. Why doesn't it say Adoni Zaken? Why does it say Adoni Zaken?
Adoni Zaken? So maybe
she's dead as a woman.
You know, it could be an appearance of a man, and that the woman sees it as a man. I'm not so sure. That I couldn't tell from the wording in the Nitzu Tishemcha. Maybe it is that a man sees it as an old man, and a woman sees it as an old man. I don't know. That I don't know. Sounded sort of like that. But Adoni Zaken would sort of be, that does, according to him, refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's funny though, by the way, because the word Adoni in no Sfarim appears as a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning nobody treats this with holiness like you do with the rest of the words that are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you have to, you know, tovel yourself or have kavanah when writing the shame. Everybody says that. So you have to say something like that. But it's like Adonolam, right? That's what it would be over there. Me'ashiloch, okay, we'll skip the Me'ashiloch for right now, but that's an interesting one in and of itself. There's an unbelievable Yonos and Mezeel. In the pasuk before it, it says, they asked where Sarah Minu was. The Sarah Shamas Pesach Ha'olah, it says in pasuk Yod, Sarah was listening at the front of the tent, the Hu Acharo, and he was behind him. So here it says, who was behind him? So Yonos Minu Zil says, Yishmael was behind Avraham Avinu. Yishmael was standing behind. Now why does it matter that Yishmael was there? Here's the pshat. Yishmael's mother was Hagar. What happened to Hagar in last week's parsha when Sarah Minu got upset and threw her out of the house? She gave her an Ayin Hara. And even though Hagar was pregnant, she lost her baby. The Ayin Hara that Sarah Minu gave Hagar made her lose her baby. So Yishmael was always angry about that. Yishmael was always angry, even though afterward Yishmael was born and Hagar gave birth to Yishmael. Yishmael was always angry. You did something with my mother.
I don't even know about that. A weird conversation.
I would assume that something happened, but regardless, Yishmael, well, he probably knew that he wasn't a Bechor from his mother. Right, because she miscarried.
So she survived, and he wasn't.
She probably knew that. He wasn't the Bechor. So he must have known something. Like that must have happened. How did that happen? Could Sarah Minu kicked her up? He must have known some of that conversation. So he sat there, and as soon as Sarah Minu was told, "You're going to have a baby," you know what Yishmael did? Yishmael was standing right behind Avraham Avinu, giving Sarah Minu the evil eye, giving the Ayin Hara straight back to Sarah Minu. So what did Sarah Minu do? She didn't want the Ayin Hara. She wanted the baby to live. So what did she do? She laughed. She's like, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. That's how the Megid Yosef understands the Yonos Minu Zil. To which Yishmael said, I guess it's not going to happen. So he stopped giving the evil eye. So when Avraham Avinu goes up to Sarah and says, "You laughed," she answered truthfully, "I didn't laugh because I didn't believe in it. I laughed, the reason why I laughed is because I wanted Yishmael to stop giving me an evil eye." And Avraham said, "No, you laughed. You don't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given you the baby even with the Ayin Hara of Yishmael? Even if Yishmael would have given the Ayin Hara, you still would have had that baby. You laughed, and that was a bad thing. You should have known that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have done this no matter what."
I don't know.
We have to understand Ayin Haras. I don't really know how Ayin Haras work exactly.
That person's tefillos or Ayin Haras do have an effect. So kind of like, I don't know, because I've online the work, right?
At this point, if we're not dealing with Ramban, right, then we could be dealing with where they thought, where Sarah Minu knew that these were Malachim, and that this was a Nebuah. If this was a real Nebuah, there's no way that she could deny anything like that, and Ayin Hara cannot take it away. Once a Nebuah is given, that Nebuah is given, you can't take that out. Now, Rav Victor Miller explains the point of the Torah going through all this. It is strange, because we go into detail about this. The lost hope of Sari Menu, which she assumed, right, that she wasn't going to have a baby, is something that we can learn from in our fellows. Right? Even though it seems we're all lost, we have no chance. How in the world are we going to get the Arabs out of the Al-Aqsa Mosque? How is that going to happen? How is it shaykh that we're going to be able to have a world where everyone's going to listen to us when everyone hates us so much and everyone thinks that we're doing this, that, and the other? The hopelessness of Sari Menu when she thought that nothing was going to happen, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes by in a second and says, you're going to have a child, and it's going to be very, very soon. We can be redeemed from our exile any second. It's an example of Maisa Avos Simcha Banim for something that happens to us all the time. Another reason this conversation is related in details is that we see a husband's absolute responsibility for his wife's behavior. Says Rabbi Victor Miller. Even when she denied it later, he told her, you must have laughed. You must have laughed. I wouldn't have been rebuked if you hadn't laughed. And therefore, it should be there. Now, Sari Menu feared God as greatly as you can possibly imagine. She couldn't believe that there was even a little tiny tinge of disbelief within her body, of something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do. And that's why she denied it, not believing that this could ever happen. She failed to realize that there was a higher level that she could get to. Now, after Avraham Avinu tells her this, she understood and worked hard to attain that level. Says Rabbi Victor Miller, it's all a lesson for us to gain a little bit more appreciation, number one, of the amount of bitachon that a person should have, and number two, to understand that when our spouse is not on that level, to help her build herself up to that level, to allow her to be there. There is no other time in the Torah where you see Avraham Avinu argue with Sari Menu. There's no other time in the Torah where you ever see an argument between a husband and a wife. Adam goes ahead and takes the fruit from Chava, does not say a thing. Yitzchak and Rivka do not say a thing to one another after Yaakov and Esav take the brachos. There's not one conversation that we see that happened between Yitzchak and that. Yaakov and Rachel is a great call. Yeah. Yaakov and Rachel is the only one that we would be able to say where it's, you know, Rachel even said that you haven't given me a son, and Yaakov even says, what do you want me to do? Right? But this conversation and that conversation as well has something right there that you need a lesson to take from, to be able to sit there and say to yourself, what in the world, what is my responsibility and what do I have to do when it comes to me and my wife? What are my responsibilities? This is the lessons that we're taking from this parsha. We're going to end with this Ramosha over here. True bitachon in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, says Ramosha Feinstein, is understanding that a miracle and nature are all the same. There is no difference between a woman giving birth at the age of 20 and the miracle of childbirth and a woman giving birth at the age of 80. There is no difference, even though one is natural and one to us is supernatural and does not seem to be there. A miracle is a miracle. Even nature is miraculous in its own way, even though we think we understand it through science. That's still a miracle. It's just a miracle that we can see a little bit easier with our own eyes. A lower level miracle, so to speak. The famous Gemara with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, where Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's daughter went ahead and lit vinegar instead of oil. She was crying. And Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said, my daughter, what's the problem? She said, I made a mistake and I lit the vinegar instead of the oil, so we're not going to have light over Shabbos. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said to her, my daughter, right? The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that tells the oil to remain lit will allow the vinegar to remain lit. That doesn't work for normal people who think that the oil is natural and the vinegar is not. For a person like Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, he looks at the oil being lit and he said, that's a miracle. That's an unbelievable miracle. It makes no sense that oil should light up and should allow a flame to be able to come from it. That this should be the fuel for such a fire. It makes no sense to me. Even though I understand it naturally, nonetheless, the idea behind it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it within this system, that this should be able to light up, that's a miracle. For him, vinegar lighting is the same exact thing. What difference does it make? What, because it goes against nature? Who cares? Everything is miraculous in its own way. And if you look at life that way, where everything is a miracle, the fact that I get up in the morning is a miracle, the fact that I can see is a miracle, the fact that I can eat is a miracle, if I look through my body system and I see it is a miracle, then miracles can happen for you, and you don't even see them as unnatural, supernatural. They're part of your nature because nature is miraculous to you. Everything is supernatural to you. That's the way to live one's life. Says Ramosha Feinstein, you should know, by the way, this is Ramosha Feinstein literally throughout the entire Chumash. He has this verse in 8 different places that I counted, and I might have missed a few places. In 8 different places he says this verse. If you understand nature to be miraculous, nothing is supernatural. It's all involved in the world in some way, shape, or form. It is a crazy line from Ramosha. And to be honest with you, it's something that Victor Miller says probably 700 times just in Bereshis alone, that we understand nature to be, and therefore we get through things. Says Victor Miller, you're missing the point of nature. You're missing the point of the natural process, which leads to something else. To see the world behind the scenes is to see why you have such fruit. And that's how he goes into all these things, and how the eye works, and how an apple is on a tree. And it's amazing just to read what he says. Have you ever heard Reverend Victor Miller with his slow voice? How it works? It's an unbelievable little process where he goes, and he says how the fruit forms, how the seed allows itself to... how the blossom forms itself into a fruit, how it keeps itself hidden until it's a little bit more riper. It's green until it tells you that it's ready, and then it turns red to tell everyone, I'm ready to fall. When it needs to fall, it falls off the tree on its own instead of staying there for a long time, but it doesn't fall off the tree before, only when it's perfectly ripe and ready to be eaten. Amazing things. He said if a person would look at a tree and see bread growing from the tree, actual bread, like loaves of bread growing from the tree itself, you'd sit there and be like, oh my gosh, that's an amazing tree. This is bread growing from a tree, and you never think twice about it. You never think twice. You say, like, yeah, it's natural, it's part of the world, it's the way the world goes. Sister Victor Miller, it's not, it shouldn't be. It's part of every miracle that's there. It's an unbelievable way of looking at life. And he says, that was the issue. You have to see this as regular, any type of thing that happens should be looked at as a crazy miracle. That's how Sari Menu has to go through. And that really goes back to our original conversation in the beginning. That Sari Menu was of such a level where she was learning from Avraham Avinu. Where did Avraham Avinu learn the Torah from? How did he understand everything? He looked at the world, saw everything in the world and said there must be a God. This is exactly the lesson that Avraham Avinu was trying to impart. Nothing is too far from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to do. Nothing ever is too far. That's what he lived for. That's what he was always about. That's what he taught people. For this, for Sari Menu to have even a tinge of denial that this could happen is going against Avraham Avinu's teachings that he taught everyone else in the world. You think things are impossible? He escaped the Kibshon HaEsh. He got out of the Kibshon HaEsh. You think things are impossible? Sari Menu, you were in Avimelech's bedroom and Paro's bedroom, and they didn't take you, and nothing happened. You were grabbed by the king in places where anything could happen, and you were not taken advantage of. Anything can happen at any time to people like these, and that's what Sari Menu had to learn and understand. This is the lesson to be learned over here. We're going to stop with this, guys.